Hello and welcome back to another episode of the podcast. It's great to have you joining with us again. I'm Rick Hill and I've been hosting this podcast over the past few months. However, do listen out in future episodes as I begin to share some of this responsibility with others too. As well as that, there are a couple of other tweaks coming in this season of the podcast. Firstly, we're going to be streamlining down to two contributors for each of our conversations just to give a little bit more space for contributors to share. And we will, however, finish each episode with a personal story or a practical example of something that's happening within the life and witness of some of our congregations. And we hope these will really encourage you as you listen about what is happening across our church, as well as stimulate some ideas for your own settings too. We'll continue to hear perspectives from across our church, and we also hope to include some guests from further afield and beyond our denomination too, who might help us to reflect on a range of issues, although this first episode is starting a little closer to home. These episodes will all go under the title of Refined, as we consider how we are being refined, both as people and the church, through the present experiences of our life as we've never known it before. Now, we've heard and thought a lot about lockdown over the past few months, but we want to begin to turn our gaze to reflect a little more on the current moment that we're in, both personally and congregationally. And to help us do that, we're joined today by the Reverend David Thompson and the Reverend David Bruce. Now, they've both contributed to earlier podcasts, and so perhaps they maybe need a little less introduction. But David, I wonder if we could start by hearing a little bit about the flavour of your work and ministry in more recent times as the moderator of our denomination.
Thanks, Rick, and it's lovely to be back on the podcast, and thanks for the invitation. Yeah, for me, I've been out and about a fair bit, meeting with ministers, elders. I'm actually at the moment, as we are recording this, in the middle of a tour of the Down Presbytery, trying to get out and about a bit. That has had to be curtailed, which itself is a feature of church life at the moment, where set piece events that have been well planned and organised and prayed through have had to be set aside, sometimes very much at the last moment. I think what I'm sensing and feeling at the moment, Rick, is, if I can use an illustration, it's a bit like helping people through the intense provisionality of everything, the plans that are having to be adjusted and the things that are so uncertain. Because I think intuitively as people we like firmness, we like certainty, it's as if we like concrete beneath our feet, and yet we find ourselves having to set aside that safety and predictability of a level surface that where we know what step is going to, one step is going to follow the next, and we know where we're headed. It's as if we've had to set that aside and substitute it for the kind of squelchiness of a mucky field, you know, with our wellies on. And it's a very different kind of feel to life. So I think I'm encountering a lot of people who, if I can extend the metaphor beyond breaking point, are telling me that they really don't know if their boot is going to be left behind in the drawer. You know, there's a great deal of uncertainty about all of this. Having said that, and we'll maybe have a chance to say more about this in a moment or two, I am seeing also signs of the growing and the building of faith, but maybe we'll come back to that.
Okay, and even you're modelling that a little bit as a moderator too, that you're refining and redefining what that looks like as well. Is there positives and negatives of that experience for you at the minute?
I'm having to work quite hard, and I'm not, you know, complaining about that. I'm actually thoroughly enjoying it, in doing stuff on the fly and having to reimagine biblical metaphors, see them through fresh eyes, and re-preach them in new ways. So I think the Holy Spirit has been, if I can offer this as a kind of personal testimony, I've been very conscious of the Holy Spirit's help with this, finding myself maybe faced with a group of uncertain faces behind face masks, not even sure if they're smiling in a congregation, and yet, you know, being given the help to be able to make connections with them. So, yeah, it is a case and a process of personal reinvention every day.
Okay. And David Thompson, coming to you, your work as the Secretary of the Council of Congregational Life and Witness, what is that work looking like for you at the minute?
So, Rick, it still continues to be a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. September is seen as transition from the These Three Remain initiative to this new refined theme that we're going to be talking about today. And that's a very definite step out of the physical world into the digital world. So there's lots to get used to there in terms of using that technology right across the denomination. And also thinking about how to communicate effectively in webinars and things like that. And how that's very different from being in a room with people, which is our usual experience. So just keeping everything moving forward under very irregular patterns of working is a bit of a challenge every day you get out of bed. I think positively, things are becoming a little less random now and new patterns are beginning to form. And I think for all of us, that has to happen or else we'll be forever in a kind of first response mode. And the time for that is really beginning to pass now. So it's a big learning moment as well, and we're seeing what works and we're admitting what doesn't work, and what was right then might not be what's called for now. And sometimes we just have to work out how much and how quickly and how fast we can go. So the challenge is just managing that and also thinking about how we really do need to lead now. And key to that's being extra sensitive in our listening to the church and our attentiveness in watching what God's doing around us. So despite all the difficulties of the moment in ministry, this is also a season in which I think personally I'm acutely aware of God's challenge saying to me, David, you can't shrink back from this. It's not going away. You've got to grow into it.
That's helpful. And you talked about sort of trying to be attentive to what's going on out there, I guess, across our church. Can you reflect a little bit about the moment that you think we might be in or what you're noticing?
I want to commend you guys for the extraordinary stuff that you've been doing and the resource that has been put out. And I think what we've got coming is really fresh. But for me, and it struck me in what David was saying, that yes, there's pressure involved in his work, but there is a lengthening of the stride, because I think we're all aware that this is not a 3-month or a 6-month game. You know, we're having to recalibrate here and therefore reform the way that we think about resourcing the church. This is not a sticking plaster to get us over a short-term problem. We're actually having to manipulate the very bones and sinews of the church to enable it to perform and to function as a body in this new environment. So that just struck me from what David said. It was really important, you know, taking the long view.
Yeah, I think that's right. And obviously, as the moderator said, every situation's different, and so people are moving at a different pace. Some people have been back at church for a very long time. Some people are just coming back now. And so it is a bit of a challenge to just listen to people and hear where they're at and try and pastorally encourage them and their congregation just to edge forward at the speed that God wants them to. Mm.
And we're calling this series of podcasts Refined to reflect the moment that we're in. Maybe could either of you, both of you, share with us why you think this word is important to us at this time?
No, why don't I pick that up? A couple of things. When talking about refined, it's an interesting Bible concept, because on the one hand you associate it with fire and you wonder to yourself, well, does fire mean the fires of hell? And undoubtedly as a biblical metaphor that is present, but it's interesting, and commentators including the likes of John Stott and others have pointed out that actually the vast majority of the use of the metaphor of fire within scripture is for purposes of purification, like a crucible, where the radical changes that are brought about to elements through the application of heat produces something fresh and new that emerges. Now, I'm imagining that that's what lies behind the use of this word and these resources. Now, that begs all kinds of questions about what God might be doing in the midst of this pandemic in relation to our life and work and witness, and I hope we'll have a chance to reflect further about that in a few moments. But I certainly believe that God is not absent, that he is intimately present in the heart of this process, that he knows exactly what is happening and what he's doing, and is awaiting us to act with maturity and faith in response to the circumstances that are before us. When you think in history of other circumstances, moments when trials have occurred, difficulties have occurred, it's amazing to see what God does. And if I can just quote one example from that, from my previous work with Scripture Union. Armenia is currently in the news at the moment because of the conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia over Nagorno-Karabakh, which is the conflicted territory between the two countries. I was involved for many years in helping to start Script Union's work in Armenia, and I've been there many times, many friends in the country, the oldest continuously Christian country in the world. Now, they would say to me, in the past we have seen revival. When you talk about them, about that experience, you're wondering if this was revival that came about after the collapse of communism, when the doors were opened and the Soviet illegalities and legislative framework to suppress religious belief were in place. When did this revival happen? And they say, oh no, this was revival before the collapse of communism, when it was illegal to hold a Bible study in your apartment, when you could find yourself being arrested by the secret police in the dead of night just by virtue of the fact that you were known to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit came and blessed the church in remarkable ways in those times. And in fact, those leaders would have said to me, while we welcome you here and we're delighted to have you working with us, our concern is that the church will become compromised and flabby in its discipleship, that the unlikely and difficult soil, the stony soil, the place that looked unpromising when everything was harsh and difficult, that was the time and the place where God blessed us most profoundly and in a formative way. We were refined in the fire at that time. So I have taken a curious but cautious kind of comfort from that, Rick. This is not easy, what we're going through, and it's not going to get any easier, I don't think. I'm nervous that in getting our attention and in refining us, we may find ourselves facing trials that we haven't yet conceived. And I pray that if we do find ourselves in those circumstances, that we will be ready and able for them.
Yeah, that's very helpful. It's a sobering picture too, but there's hopefulness in it, David, as well. David, is this some of the thinking behind the refined theme? And do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
So I think we always need to be looking to Scripture to see what we can sense God saying to us in the moment. And that is, as the moderator said, not an easy thing to do. But the Scriptures are so rich in terms of pictures that we need to line up alongside our present experience. And they help us to find a perspective and help us understand how we feel and what we're going through and maybe a little bit of where God's taking us. And I think it's like that with refined. I have a sense this is a period of ongoing grief for us because we've just lost so much. And it also feels like a moment whenever you hear people say, no, it's going to be like this until Christmas and it's going to be bumpy and then it, you know, could go beyond that. It's also a period when reality is also beginning to bite. And the difficulty for us, I think, in those moments is that we go into our shell. And we can understand that. That's kind of something that we might feel that we have to do for our own security in some sense. But we also need to be looking to God with expectation to find his leading and see where he's taking us. So as much as at the minute I think most of us are pretty bothered by this and a wee bit bewildered, we also need to think about what it is God's saying to us. So much of our life has been tried and tested, and that tried and tested language is part of that refinement theme in Scripture. And we can begin to see, I think, what is really important already. We can begin to see what is core to who we are and what we do and also the how we do it. And maybe we can also begin to see what seems less important than it used to. So refine's a big theme in Scripture. It's what God's people in the Old Testament experienced. It's all over their experiences of wandering in the wilderness and being carted off into exile in Babylon and coming back and finding a very different Jerusalem. It's all over the lives of people like Joseph and Moses and Daniel as they try to follow God in really difficult circumstances. But it's in the New Testament that the text which I think really brings this to life for us now is found. And it's in 1 Peter 1 verses 6 and 7. And those verses come after some great verses about the hope that we have in Christ. And then we read this. Though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. So we are in a time of grief and a time of trial and a time of refining, and we do need to look for the gold. We also need to notice the dross that's being burned off. If our living through this experience is to result in praise and glory and honour for Jesus, and that's what it's about. It's not about how can we save our church, it's about how we can bring glory to Jesus in our present circumstances. But what if we missed that because we were just muddling through? There's a great danger that we're just muddling through. There's just too much that's important in this now and in the future to allow that to happen.
Okay, and then just to let's jump and think practically for a few minutes, then there's a whole suite of resources under this heading, of which this podcast is only a small part of course. So tell us more maybe about the variety of resources that are being made available.
Just as everybody was getting used to the These Three Remain initiative that came in response to the lockdown in March 2020, we've gone and changed it, haven't we, to refined. And the main reason for that is that strong sense that post-summer we're moving into a different season, a different phase, and our denominational conversation needs to reflect that. So initially, as I said earlier, it feels like we were in response mode to all that happened really, really quickly. And it was about what remained and what we could retain. But now we find ourselves slowed down for a longer period than we maybe imagined at first. And we're facing a whole lot of more difficult questions, and not only about what we can and can't do. So Refined is meant to help us to seek God's face and is leading and guiding for this next season of our church life together, and even beyond that as we gradually edge out of the other end, whatever that looks like. And really, most of it is a digital program for supporting and developing congregational life and witness. It's got a few strands that we're beginning to see grow now. So there are digital webinars. We've had a couple already. There's another one coming. And they're seeking to equip congregational leaders on specific themes for this season of ministry and mission. And then there'll be smaller scale digital conversations where a maximum of a dozen people can sign up to be facilitated on Microsoft Teams calls so that they can share the ideas and provide encouragement that is so important in our church life and in going and growing together in this time. And so they'll cover things like children's ministry and youth ministry and discipleship and outreach. We've launched PCI's first ever digital conference this week, and there's some very helpful and shareable material on the Refined theme there. And then, of course, we're continuing with Tides, our digital devotional, and some blogs on a variety of subjects and podcasts and Facebook pages, and they'll help us reflect together on the digital platform too. One other wee thing to mention that is also really important and will grow steadily is an area on the Refined section of the PCI website called Redefined. And what we're looking for there is some stories of how congregations have found simple ways of just setting up differently to do their core activities as we continue to face all the obstacles that we're so aware of. And so that's going to be important, I think, as we share those stories. And there's an area called Blended as well, which seeks to do the same for children's and youth ministry. And the best way, really, for anybody to find out what Refined's all about is just to click on the Refined logo on the landing page of the PCI website and have a good fart about.
Brilliant. And that sounds like an invitation as well to people to share some of their stories or share some of their examples that could maybe be shared wider, is it?
Absolutely. And I know we've already been doing that on the podcast, but it would be really good if we had some of those. So feel free to send those in to us.
Okay. And just to pick up as well, David, a lot of what you've talked about are resources that are coming from the centre, I guess, of the life of the church, if that's the right phrase. But there's also resources that congregations can pick up and use. So I'm thinking about Prism, for example. Do you want to just talk briefly about that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think there's two strands to what we're trying to do. One is, let's tell the story of the church. Let's find a way to animate that story and share that story. So we've been doing that a lot through the blogs and the podcasts, and that'll continue. And that's so important because church life really happens primarily in congregations. And so it's so important that we just grow together as a denomination in this time. But you're right, there are some resources to pick up there as well. There's one called Opening Up to God, and it tries to help any leadership team really at any activity of the church's life to think through what God is saying to them at this time. And then there's another resource called Prism, which is a set of Bible studies that helps any group really work through some of the big lessons that God might be teaching us during lockdown.
Okay, brilliant. And we'll come back to our moderator. That you've mentioned this is a time where people feel disorientated, unsure, and there's lots of talk about things that we can't do. I'm wondering if you've thoughts about things that we can be doing to be receptive to God's refining, maybe in our own lives at this time?
Yeah, let me say three things, Rick, about that very briefly. Firstly, I think it's important that we don't forget how to relate. Going digital can be a very isolating thing, and we can even, some of us maybe temperamentally wired that way, can actually quite welcome the idea. It's almost like a line of least resistance, just to retreat. So I think it's very important that we impose this discipline, this mental discipline upon ourselves, and make it a spiritual discipline that we don't forget how to relate. In other words, don't forget how to be the body of Christ rather than a body part of Christ, so that we see ourselves as corporate. Secondly, I think, and part of that, of course, is expressed this way, that we pray intentionally for people living with the damage of COVID. That is a lived reality for an increasing number of people, not just within the church, but beyond it. But the lived damage of COVID is long term. There's this thing called long COVID. Now, look, the science is still being done. It's being invented as we go, and we're learning more and more about it every week. But I think there's a very significant pastoral responsibility being placed upon the church for months and years to come as we minister to people who are living with the consequences of this infection and the disease that follows it. And then the third thing is very practical. It's to watch out for some of the fallout that is going to come, especially maybe in this pre-Christmas season, as the economics of COVID begin to hit many families. With the ending of the government furlough scheme, with the introduction of other support schemes, it seems likely that there are going to be increased redundancies right across the economy. And I think for us as churches, it's going to be vital that we address that pastorally, wisely, carefully and well, recognising the pain that this causes, particularly at this time of year.
Yeah, it's challenging at the minute, isn't it, to talk about anything congregationally, because it's so difficult for us just to get together and meet and have some sort of ongoing conversation. And yet it seems to me that, as the moderator was saying, that's really important. We can't live through this moment on our own, and it would be a big mistake for us to try to do that. And so the onus is on us to find ways of making sure we are interconnected and we are trying to listen together to what God's been saying to us and what he is and will say to us. It does seem to me that being receptive is a really important thing at the moment. I don't know about anybody else. I just feel bombarded with news and speculation and social commentary, and it's pretty hard to escape that. And it's really hard to find a quiet space and to cultivate a quiet heart and to quietly look and listen for God. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, church life can be a bit like that at the minute as well. So many things that we have to arrange, so many things that sometimes we have to rearrange and sometimes even unarrange. And maybe a lot of questions all coming at the same time. I had a conversation with a friend this week, and they expressed to me the problem of challenge overload. And they were kind of saying to me, I do my morning devotions and it's very challenging. And then I go to church on Sunday and the sermon's all about the big challenge of living through coronavirus. And I open a Christian book and it's all about challenge. And I'm almost trying just pastorally to cope with my family situation and my work situation. And I'm completely overloaded with challenge. So we need to beware and be wary of so much intake that actually we can't reflect properly. What if we were just to stop and ask ourselves as congregations, what does God seem to be doing among us at this time? What are we noticing? Or what if we were to stop and ask God prayerfully, God, what do you want to say to us at this time? And relinquish what we want to hear him saying, because we're all very good at that, you know. He says exactly what we want to hear him say, so that we really let him speak into our situation and bring that change and refine what we do. So maybe we need to get a few core things up and going again. We all know that's important as congregations, but maybe we need to content ourselves with that as well and put our inner activism on hold. PCI is a very activist denomination, and our congregations like to be busy. Maybe we need to put that on hold for a while, and in these next few months make it a time of leaning in to listen to God and making our life together a season of learning. And I just have a strong sense that if we don't do that, we'll produce dross, because activities for activity's sake, because it makes us feel better about ourselves because we're able to do something, really rarely does anything in God's kingdom. But whenever we do put things on hold and we genuinely try to listen to God, then gold really will begin to appear. And I don't know if that chimes with what others are experiencing or not, but I think there's a big challenge to slow down and listen to God.
It strikes me too, in the midst of lots of challenges, the antidote almost to challenge is actually encouragement as well. So I'm wondering how we pick up a posture of, David, you talk about pastorally listening to people, but also encouraging people for their leadership or what they're doing. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I find what David's just said very helpful. Nestling in the heart of what I think he was saying was listening to God to try to discern what God is saying. And perhaps the centre of that, the locus of that process of listening to God, is a rediscovery of confidence in Scripture. The Scripture is a living thing, that God speaks through it, and that as we approach it from a different set of circumstances than we did maybe 6 months or a year ago, as we apply a different lens to it, so it pops into life in fresh and new ways. So having the confidence in Scripture as the living Word of God, that He will continue to speak with us, is really important, and therefore we don't lose the discipline of engaging with God in His Word. I think that's going to be really important for us going forward. I mean, I've certainly found in recent times that, you know, passages that were really pretty familiar and that I thought I had kind of got them down, suddenly, boom, you discover that there's a whole new world there that you hadn't spotted before because the circumstances are different. Can I go on, Rick, just to talk about a couple of, well, maybe one particular scripture that has done this for me recently in a very simple way, just to illustrate, and I'll finish with this. So John 15, because it's harvest season, you know, John 15 is the passage that talks about the vine and the branches. And Zoe and I were busy pulling down an old vine off the front of our house. It was one of these creepers that had managed to creep into the window frames and the gutters, and it was a mess. So I thought, right, up the ladder, we're gonna get this down. And it did, along with most of the spider population of Lisburn. It came off the wall, and it was a mess. It was a big job. But reflecting on John 15 in light of that dirty experience, you have this repeated refrain in Jesus talking about being the vine and we being the branches, and that the branches bear fruit. And this reflects and picks up on something that DT was saying a moment ago. Jesus says, I think it's seven times in that narrative, the importance of bearing fruit rather than what we might think of ourselves as doing as the church in our activism, producing fruit. So a branch will bear the fruit that comes from the vine. Branches don't produce anything. They bear what they're given from the vine. If they start to produce stuff, then there's a deficit. There's a distance that's created. And I just wonder, and this is total speculation, if one of the things that God might be gently doing with us in this is easing us back to the proper spiritual discipline of being fruit bearers rather than fruit producers. If we could be finding ourselves having to pare back, to prune, to stop doing stuff that we have done in the past just because it was reproducing and had become habitual and even cultural. If maybe God is saying, right, stop before you put any of this back. Ask yourself this really important question. What fruit is it that Jesus needs us to bear for him in the setting of our community and our ministry within it, rather than simply reproducing what we've always done before because it works?
I think you've captured the heart of the refined image and the refined theme, actually, in that.
One of the things that always strikes me about that passage, and that our council's been trying to say for quite a long time, is that whenever God's kingdom is growing, it's like a field and not a factory. And when you go into Scripture, so many of the metaphors and so many of the images are organic, and they're from the farming scene, and we don't really understand that very well in the modern world. My grandfather worked in the shipyard, and my dad was a policeman, so I kind of was shaped by, you put a rivet in here and you do something else there and you've got a big ship that can sail out of the harbour and sinks halfway across to America. And as far as my dad was concerned, not in a bad way at all, I have to say, it was pretty much you do what you're told and you obey the orders, and that's how it works. So I think we really struggle with the fact that God works much more slowly than we want him to. And whether we like it or not, we're going to be stuck in this situation for at least the next 6 months. We've kind of been told that now. And so our church life is going to have to reflect that as well. We can't imagine that we can move up the gears and drive out of this at speed. We're just not going to be able to do that. That's going to be a huge challenge for us as we go forward, I think. But again, a discipline that we're just going to have to learn, that God works at his own speed. I think for me, the passage of scripture that's been really bouncing around in my head now for a while is James 1, 2-6. And that's becoming a bit of a roadmap for this season of life and ministry for me. I'm just going to read these verses and then I'll just highlight briefly why I think I need to hear them. So in James 1, 2-6, we read this: "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind." Like, imagine that. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. That's just so counterintuitive to our world, where we just complain about everything. And then it goes on, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind." Now, I need to hear that again and afresh, because I do need to find and fight for joy. I don't really like going home and find I'm stuck in the house every night of the week now, but I kind of am. And I need to fight for that joy with my brothers and sisters in these present trials, because things aren't easy. And I need to consider pretty hard to find joy in this present moment. That's the first thing that strikes me about those verses. The second is I need to persevere. There's nothing else for it in one way, but I also need to let perseverance mature at its own pace and finish what God needs it to do in me, instead of wanting to hurry him along. And my goodness, I need to ask for wisdom, and know that when I do that, I'm asking a generous God who isn't sitting up in heaven waiting to find fault with me. There's probably enough people already finding fault with you if you're a leader in the church. And if there isn't as a leader, well, you're probably doing it endlessly with yourself. But we ask wisdom of a generous God. Isn't that good? And maybe most of all, I need to expect. I need to expect God will be all I need him to be and do what only he can do. And not have any doubt about that, however much I feel in the fog of a million uncertainties these days. So I have to part company with Martin Luther. Now, he didn't really like the book of James. He said it was a strawy epistle. There's nothing strawy about those verses, and there's something very solid to hold on to.
Brilliant. Well, listen, thank you both for sharing, and thanks for how you're both leading in the middle of the fog right now as well. David, I wonder if you would just pray for people as we listen and think about this in these moments.
Okay, thank you. Let's pray. Lord, as we take time to pause, just listening wherever we are, we trust you to be the God of comfort at this time of discomfort and dis-ease. We do pray for people who are feeling the draft of this, for people who have suffered from COVID and who are living with its consequences. We pray for people who are feeling lonely and isolated and who need the nourishment and the blessing of being together in church. We pray for those who are economically uncertain about the future and who will face consequences as a result of the ending of the furlough scheme. And Lord, we pray for our churches, wherever they're found, big, small, rural, city, urban, wherever they are, that each of us and the elders who lead them would be given the grace and the insight to know how best to respond in their circumstances, to be your prophetic presence in the midst of so many unknowns around us. Take glory for yourself through this, so that in this curious way of your word, we would find ourselves counting it joy to be in such a place. May that be our testimony as we move on into this journey you've laid before us, for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
As part of this series of this podcast, we also want to include some congregational stories from across our denomination, giving us examples of refining of our life and witness at this time. The first of these comes from the Reverend Richard Gregg from Burnside Presbyterian Church in Port Stewart, who shares with us about how they are using some of the refined resources that David has already been mentioning. I started by asking him how his congregation have been approaching their life together recently.
We plan to reopen at the beginning of September, and we spent most of the summer just trying to get all the practicalities ready for that reopening. So there was lots of time spent around the church with tape measures and putting down black and yellow tape and getting hand sanitizer in place and just walking through the building and trying to work out how people were going to react and how people were going to move and interact with each other. And then towards the end of the summer, suddenly realized that we hadn't spent as much time trying to work out what we were going to do once we came back, because things were obviously going to be very different. So what was going to take place in the services on the Sunday?
So how did you respond to that, or how did you kind of step forward into thinking about, right, what's the content, or what's, you know, how are we helping people grow in this?
Just about at the same time, the Prism material became available from Congregational Life. And that just really seemed to fit in with what little thinking we had done and what we were planning for the next few months. I think it's described in the material as a framework for thinking and discussion. And that's really what we found it to be. It was a good framework for us to start building our new church season on. And all of the different sessions were just laid out really simply and gave us enough information to make a start and then to be able to adapt it into our own situation. So we started off looking at the various sessions that there were, and we were able to take the bits that fit it into our context quite well. And then the bits that didn't fit our context actually pushed us into thinking about those areas a bit more, and maybe pushed us into thinking about things that otherwise we wouldn't have bothered with. And that helped us in the whole process. I think I felt a lot of pressure during the summer to get things done, to get things produced, to get things online, and just to have Prism as a starting point and as a good structure there to then work upon just eased that pressure a bit and helped with the new session.
The way you talk there is about how all of us should approach resources actually, so they're not there just to lift straight off the shelf and do word for word, but actually you're using them as a starting point and you're adapting them. You talk about maybe they've provoked you in some areas as well. So how practically have you delivered this within the congregation over the last little while?
Yeah, I didn't want to just try and replicate what we'd done before in the congregation now that things were very different. We wanted to try and adapt and change to the new context. And before lockdown, we had a morning service and an evening service. We had a prayer meeting. We had a Bible study during the week. And all of those events had different themes and different subjects. They all had different people coming along to them, so it wasn't necessarily easy to have a theme running throughout them. But I find with so much material in the Prism framework that we decided to take each session and then build the whole week around it. So we do three things now, which really aren't that unusual, but they just work quite well in our context in Burnside. So on a Sunday, our worship, both the online worship and the in-the-building worship, focuses on one of the themes from the Prism material. Then Monday to Friday, I record a short Bible study. It's usually about 7 or 8 minutes long, and go through the printout from the session, looking at some of the questions, some of the passages that are mentioned, some of the thoughts that are there, and put that onto the church blog. And then thirdly, we have a Zoom Bible study prayer time where we get together and we talk about the themes that we've been looking at during the week, and folk share what it's meant to them and what they thought about it. It's not a teaching time, because the teaching's already been done through the Sunday and through the daily blogs, but it's more a time of just sharing and discussing and finding out a little bit more about it all.
So you're preaching the material, you're signposting the material through the week, and then you're discussing the material together as well. You've been doing this maybe a few weeks, Richard. Have there been any encouragements or examples of how God has been working through this?
On Sunday past, we were in session 5, which is Resent, meeting fear with faith. And during the service, we looked at Paul's shipwreck in Acts 27. And several people were coming out of the service and they were saying things along the lines of, I'm going back home to read that passage again. I can't wait to find out what we're going to look at the rest of the week from that passage because I want to know more about it. They were looking forward to what they were going to then be able to share later on in the week as well. So rather than just the morning service being over and done with, they were already thinking about how they could get more from it and how they could develop more from it, which is totally different from what we've done before. Because there's the time where we get together and we talk about things, folk have to articulate what God's been saying to them. So again, that causes them to think a bit more about it and to think a bit deeper. You know, what actually has God said to me? How can I share that with others? And, you know, it's maybe only a couple of sentences, but in that process, it takes it on board and you're thinking more about it. I suppose as well, it means that several people that, you know, have never been to our Bible studies or couldn't get to an evening service now are able to take part because they can follow along at a time that suits them better. And then they're able to get more and to find more about it. You can find it on our church website, which is www.burnsidepci.co.uk.
So thanks to Richard for sharing with us there, and also for the two Davids for sharing with us earlier in the episode as well. That's us for this episode of the podcast, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks with more conversations together. See you then.